Hi, this is Anne Merchant, and welcome to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academy of Sciences, the National Academy of Engineering, the Institute of Medicine, and the National Research Council, collectively known as the National Academies. For many people around the world, and even here in the United States, adequate supplies of food are not a given. And when phrases like food security and food riot and global food instability begin to creep into the daily news cycle, it makes it that much more difficult to take the remarkable abundance and variety of food products offered in a typical American grocery store for granted. When one talks about hunger and limited food resources, one often thinks of sub-Saharan Africa. To be sure, there are a vast number of hungry people spread across southern Africa's many nations. But there's a food heritage on the African continent that has fed people for generation after generation, stretching back to the origins of mankind. It is also a local legacy of genetic wealth upon which a sound food future might be built. But strangely, it's been largely bypassed in modern times. Africa, for example, has more native cereals than any other continent. It has its own species of rice, as well as finger millet, fonio, pearl millet, sorghum, teff, guinea millet, and several dozen wild cereals whose grains are still eaten from time to time. There are also a number of native vegetables that can, and often do, contribute to a balanced African diet. Within the huge hungry zone below the Sahara, one can find several thousand native food plants, almost none of which have been given research or technical support. Plants that have fed people for millennia go largely or wholly without scientific or development attention today, even as millions in their midst suffer chronic malnutrition and related health ailments. The National Academies calls these neglected riches the lost crops of Africa. Among these forgotten foods, a significant fraction are fruits, which taken together constitute an astounding array of Africa's indigenous edibles. To begin any discussion of these fruits, it's important to understand the Academy's use of the word lost in the correct context. Technically, they are not truly lost. Indeed, in many locations, they are beloved companions, especially by rural populations. But these are plants that are lost to the mainstream of international science and people beyond the rural regions who remain unaware of these valuable food resources. The fact is that, like Asia and the Americas, the continent of Africa is blessed with a rich tropical flora. Many of the 50,000 or so plants that evolved within its forests and savannas ripen fruits to tempt the myriad wild creatures into spreading their seeds. Speaking generally, Africa has as many of these tasty morsels as tropical Asia or America. This fact, however, is something one would never guess by looking in produce markets or college textbooks. Today, American and Asian species dominate tropical fruit production worldwide, including within Africa itself. For this, there's good reason. Africa's fruits have not, by and large, been brought up to their potential in terms of quality, production, or availability. Geographically speaking, few have moved beyond Africa's shores. Horticulturally speaking, most remain poorly known. Thus, the vast continental landmass between Mauritania and Mauritius contains a cornucopia of horticultural, nutritional, and rural development jewels still waiting to be cut and polished. Perhaps it's not especially strange that the world bypassed these fruits. Until comparatively recently, most populations in Africa were dispersed enough that fruits, which are seasonally abundant, could be picked wild without the demands of cultivation under domestication. And many African cultures regarded fruits less as daily fare than a refreshing snack, a children's food, or some other kind of non-serious indulgence. And when mango, banana, citrus, cashew, and papaya arrived from Asia, and when guava, pineapple, avocado, and passion fruit arrived from America, incentive for advancing local fruit diversity increasingly vanished. In the face of these highly domesticated newcomers, local fruits entered a downward spiral in which lack of respect and neglect led in turn to a progressively greater lack of awareness and knowledge, until Africa's fruits receded into the background. Making matters worse was the reality of recent centuries, as traditional eating habits began to fade, including those incorporating or even depending on local fruits. It is also true that Africa's species could seem relatively difficult to select and reproduce, making it harder to highlight their potential qualities or granting them a prime place in the food supply. That feature further turned growers toward the better-known tropical fruits, whose breeding and propagation problems had already been overcome and whose culture could be found in books and colonial expertise. In this light, the powers who until the last century wielded the purse strings also focused their funds, both production and research, on bananas, pineapple, coffee, cocoa, oil palm, and other fruits of proven higher value as export crops. Regardless of all these difficulties and doubts, however, now is the time to rediscover the heritage of indigenous African fruits, to apply the art of horticultural science to these plants, and to make them work harder. Both the need and the opportunity are obviously great. The tragic and widespread occurrence of poor health among children is one glaring example why support for Africa's fruits is vital. Indeed, Africa's native fruits are multi-purpose assets for relieving problems across the vast and troubled landmass lying below the Sahara. They hold promise to become levers for lifting the most nutritionally vulnerable in the most widely scattered areas of Africa. In many ways, fruits make the best of all food supplements. Not only are they appealing, they provide what might be called sustainable nutrition. By providing fruits to the old, young, and ill, we can reduce hunger, malnutrition, rural poverty, devastation from unsustainable land practices, and even the suffering caused by fearsome disease might, to some extent, be relieved. Such claims will no doubt seem overblown to the uninitiated. After all, we're talking about mere plants. But consider this. The 24 fruit plants that the academies looked at produce food of a particularly nutritious kind. Moreover, fruits provide their wealth in the locale most needing sustainable nutrition. Every quality of life indicator shows the rural poor generally face the worst hardships. Approximately 3 out of every 4 desperately poor Africans reside outside the cities. And for at least the coming generation, rural inhabitants will outnumber their urban counterparts, even if mass migration to the cities persists. By every measure, it just makes sense that fruits in general should play a larger role in the African diet, and plants with an African origin have special advantages. These ancient foods evolved with humans as our ancestors ate their ancestors. The African landscape is already shaped by humanity preferentially selecting for these species. Local origins are not, however, an unmitigated blessing. For one thing, it means that for the most part, these fruits are essentially unknown to those around the globe who most influence research priorities and funding decisions. For another, local pests and diseases have spent millennia perfecting their penetration of the plant's defenses. But these limitations, while substantial, are also very manageable, and local fruits offer strong reinforcements for Africa's food security. When confronting the enormous challenge of helping sub-Saharan nations, outsiders, even those motivated by the best of intentions, hardly know where to start. The continent's problems seem impossibly complex, so intertwined and so overwhelming that there seems no good place to even begin to build a solid base for solutions. For these and other reasons, African fruits deserve the scrutiny of science. But most of all, they need the esteem and support of those who are not scientifically trained. Politicians and administrative authorities, especially in Africa and abroad, have yet to realize how much fruits can contribute to nutrition, to health, and to the general uplift in spirit that makes any nation, region, or continent great. Africa's fruits can provide minerals and vitamins in locally available and attractive forms. They provide variety to the diet and taste buds, thereby enhancing the monotonous staples the impoverished masses endure day in and day out. They provide resources for small-scale horticultural enterprises and home gardens alike that represent a safety net for the rural regions and a prime means for raising income and relieving poverty in locales needing those most. Beyond all that, fruit trees hold fragile lands together, combating such encroaching calamities as deforestation, soil erosion, water pollution, desertification, urban blight, and perhaps even climate change. Not many people willfully cut down a fruit tree, and that fact of life could and should be capitalized upon for the common good. This, then, is a good time to be peering past the current commercial crops and developing a complementary set of contenders. Now is the opportunity to explore Africa's future in the promise of its edible botanical wealth. Some little-known local plants may have a genetic makeup so outstanding that they can help solve some of Africa's, not to mention the world's, most pressing food problems. For Africa, its own lost species are an obvious place to begin a sensible process of diversification to meet the needs of today and beyond. My name is Anne Merchant, and you've been listening to The Sounds of Science, the podcast brought to you by the National Academies, advisors to the nation on science, engineering, and medicine. Be sure to visit us at our website at nationalacademies.org, where we have more than 3,000 books and publications available full text to read free online.